ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर एंड टाइटल लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धवा टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। यर्हि एव अयम् मया त्यक्तः लोकः अयम् नष्टमंगलः भविष्यति अचिरात् साधो कलिना अपि निराकृतः। यर्हि एवायम् मया त्यक्तो लोकोऽयम् नष्टमङ्गलः भविष्यति अचिरात् साधो कलिनापि निराकृतः। यर्हि एवायम् मया त्यक्तो लोकोऽयम् नष्टमङ्गलः भविष्यति अचिरात् साधो कलिनापि निराकृतः। यर्हि एवायम् मया त्यक्तो लोकोऽयम् नष्टमङ्गलः भविष्यति अचिरात् साधो कलिनापि निराकृतः। माताजीस यर्हि वेन एव सटनली अयम् दिस मया बाय मी त्यक्तः abandoned. Lokaha, the world. Ayam, this. Nashtamangala, bereft of all auspiciousness or piety. Bhavishyati, it will be. Achirat, very soon. Sadho, O saintly one. Kalina, due to Kali. Api, himself. Nirakratah, overwhelmed. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, I.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O saintly Uddhava, in the near future I will abandon this earth. Thus, being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. Purport. Lord Krishna's plan was to bring Uddhava back to his own eternal abode after a brief delay. Because of Uddhava's extraordinary spiritual qualities, the Lord wanted to engage him in propagating his message among other saintly persons who were not yet advanced to the stage of pure devotional service. However, the Lord assured Uddhava that he would not be bereft of the Lord's association for even a moment. Also, because Uddhava had become a perfect master of his senses, he would never be afflicted by the three modes of material nature. In this way, before bringing Uddhava back home, back to Godhead, the Lord empowered him to carry out a specific confidential mission. Wherever the supreme position of the personality of Godhead is not recognized, useless mental speculation becomes very prominent, and the safe and sure path of hearing perfect Vedic knowledge becomes covered by the chaos of mental concoction. At the present time, especially in the Western countries, literally millions of books are being published on hundreds and thousands of subjects. Yet despite this proliferation of mental concoction, people remain totally in ignorance about the most fundamental issues of human life, namely, who am I, where have I come from, where am I going, what is my soul, what is God? The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is a reservoir of innumerable enchanting pastimes, and thus is the source of innumerable varieties of pleasure. In fact, he is the ocean of eternal pleasure. When the eternal soul is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from loving service to the Lord, he is overwhelmed and bewildered by material nature. He helplessly chases after material sense gratification, thinking that one material object is good and another bad, and constantly changes his assessment of what is good and what is bad. Thus he derives no peace or pleasure, is in constant anxiety, and is repeatedly thrashed by the cruel laws of nature in the form of birth, death, old age and disease. In this way, the conditioned soul becomes a fit candidate to take birth in Kali Yuga, which is the epitome of misfortune. In Kali Yuga, the living entities who are already suffering so many tribulations mercilessly turn against one another. Human society in Kali Yuga becomes savagely violent, and men open slaughterhouses to butcher hundreds of millions of innocent creatures. Large-scale wars are declared, and millions of human beings, even women and children, are quickly annihilated. Unless the living entity recognizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, he remains a helpless victim in the clutches of Maya or material illusion. He concocts different solutions to release himself from Maya, but these solutions are themselves creations of Maya and thus cannot possibly release the conditioned soul. In fact, they only intensify his distress. In the next verse, Lord Krishna specifically warns Uddhava to avoid Kali Yuga and go back home, back to Godhead. Those of us who have already taken birth in Kali Yuga should also heed this advice and immediately take all necessary steps to go back to the Lord's eternal abode for a blissful life of perfect knowledge. The material world is never a happy place, especially during the fearful days of Kali Yuga. So, very graphic purport, inspiring us to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. And this particular verse, Krishna is telling Uddhava, O saintly Uddhava, in the near future, I will abandon this earth, thus being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. So we are at a very crucial junction in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where Krishna, having performed his pastimes for around 125 years on this planet, he is considering bringing an end to his pastimes. Lord Brahma in the 10th canto glorifies Krishna's descent by saying that prapancham nishprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham pratitum prabhu. That Lord appears in this world not for those who are inimical towards him, but to attract and enchant the hearts of those who are surrendered to him. Although the Lord is nishprapanchopi, he is beyond the influence of the modes of nature, still he comes and performs pastimes within this material world which is under the influence of the modes of nature. Prapanna janatananda, simply to increase the ananda, the pleasure of those who are prapanna, surrendered and devoted to him. And now Krishna is considering that I have married several queens, including kidnapped Rukmini. I have actually killed several demons in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka. I have attended many meetings, gone to various places, engaged in reciprocation with various devotees, well-wishers, relatives, attended various ceremonies, yajñas. He also considers that all of these activities in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka, in Hastinapur, in Mithila have kept me busy, and I've been constantly performing all these activities without any break. And not only within this planet, but I've also had the opportunity to deliver and give darshan to many of my devotees in other planetary systems. When Krishna goes to the Sutala Loka and gives his darshan to Bali Maharaj, Krishna specifically gets back the son, the dead son of Sandipani Muni, by going to the abode of Yamraj. Krishna, while performing the pastime of bringing the Parijata tree and the Parijat flower on the request of Satyabhama, goes to heavenly planets and gives darshan to Aditi and Kashyap. And in this way, Lord Krishna feels that he has performed all of his pastimes adequately, and it is time for him to consider one thing which he has not yet done. And in fact, he has also gone to Mahavaikuntha Loka. And in Mahavaikuntha Loka, he goes and gives his darshan to Mahavishnu. So in this way, Krishna has fulfilled practically all the elements of his mission for which he came, and primarily was to actually taste and experience love and share that love and reciprocation with his devotees. Premarasa niryasa korite aswadan raga marga loke bhakti korite pracharan. Lord Krishna specifically comes to experience this premarasa, specifically of Sri Brajbhumi. So all of these different mission for which he appeared has been performed, has been completed. But Krishna considers that there is one part of my pastime which is still remaining. I have fulfilled everyone's desire, but still I have not fulfilled the desire of one category of devotees, the sages in Bhadrika Ashram. But it is already 125 years since I have been performing pastimes on this planet, and therefore it is not possible for me to extend these time limit any further. Although Krishna is eternal, the source of time factor, but he is very conscious of time. And he realizes that as part of my pastimes, it is time to end the pastimes here. And therefore, what will happen to those sages in Bhadrika Ashram who are so eager for my darshan? Therefore, one of Krishna's qualities is that he is Bhakta Vatsal and is extremely conscious about the devotee's feelings. And Krishna always wants to please and serve his devotees in every possible way. And therefore, Parijate Anjasa Labde Sarango Anyunna Sevate Tvadangri Moolam Asadya Sakshat Kimkim Vrinimahi. Bhagavatam describes that the conditioned soul, having travelled through millions and millions of experiences and trying to taste some pleasure in their lives, when they ultimately accept defeat and take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, the example is given that just like a honeybee which travels flower after flower accepting nectar from different flowers, but finally when that honeybee comes to Parijat flower, the unlimited quantities of nectar available within the Parijat flower satisfies that bee completely. And he does not have to go to any other flower beyond that. Tvadangri Moolam Asadya. In this way, when the conditioned soul finally comes in contact with Krishna's lotus feet, Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Thasharat, all that contamination of trying to enjoy pleasure in contact with the sense objects, it disappears and one starts experiencing increasing pleasure while trying to give pleasure to Krishna. And therefore such a soul becomes fully satisfied, and in that state of satisfaction his search ends. And therefore, Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Pada Moolam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Panthahasva Sharanam Yatha. The symptom of such a purified soul is that he ends his search and he refuses to give up service to Krishna's lotus feet, because he knows that he is at the right address, and even though the door is closed, he knows that I have to continue waiting patiently, knocking at this door, because the solution to all of my life's problems lies when the door opens. And I refuse to give up, and I refuse to leave this closed door, and I continue trying to seek whatever nectar is available behind this door. And therefore, sadhana bhakti is trying to enter through that door with the full faith and confidence that when the door opens, the nectar will flow. And so the sadhana bhakti has been designed in such a way that even the process of trying to enter through the door has been given certain experiences which connect us directly with Krishna. It may be a semblance, but that semblance gives the faith. Just like when you're knocking on the door and you hear a sound from inside. Kone? So that sound gives us some idea that, okay, the door may open. Like that, Rupa Goswami gives various symptoms by which we can understand that yes, it's not a wall, it's a door. It will open. And therefore, it is described in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam Dhunavanti Karsne Niharam Iha Bhaskara. That through Vasudeva's bhakti, ultimately, we experience the real nectar which the soul has been hankering for since time immemorial. And that facility is available by serving the Vaishnavas. Na tathahi aghavan rajan puyeta tapa adibhi. This kind of purification is not possible even by performing strict austerities. Simply by using our own intelligence and strength and willpower to try to retract the senses from the sense objects, that effort is not sufficient because we are still dependent on our own will. When we transfer that dependence from our own will to Krishna's will and start helplessly depending upon Him, then the doors of bhakti open up. Yatha Krishnarpita prana tat purusha nishevaya. So therefore the process of bhakti begins when we find a devotee or a group of devotees, tat purusha, who are what? Yatha Krishna arpita prana, those who have dedicated their lives to Krishna. Life means that as they are breathing, they are only moving and surviving based on Krishna's will. They are inhaling to hear what is Krishna's will. They are exhaling to execute Krishna's will. And when they are engaged in this kind of a life, that is called Krishnarpita prana, where their life and soul is nothing but trying to please Krishna's devotees, Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Finding such a person, tat purusha nishevaya, and then engaged in their service. And therefore, here, Lord Krishna is thinking that, okay, I have survived, I have actually helped so many devotees in so many pastimes, exchange various kinds of rasas with me. But still one group of devotees is there, the sages at Badrikashram, and I have to reciprocate with them. So this shows Krishna is so conscious. He has such a deep attachment to his devotees and is concerned about them. And he decides that I do not have time to go personally and visit. And so even Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is recognizing the fact that within this material world, all of us, even though Krishna personally is not hindered by space, because he could go to Mahavaikuntha Loka, he could go to the Yamaloka, he could go to Sutala Loka, he could go to Swarga Loka, he could go to all the lokas. He was not hindered or hampered or restricted by space, but he was restricted by time, in the sense that it was time for Kali Yuga to appear. And for Kali Yuga to appear, he had to disappear. And therefore, in order to give us opportunity to experience Kali Yuga, he had to close his pastimes. And therefore Krishna at this point decided that I have to send my authorized representative to Badrikashram. By taking darshan of Uddhava, all of these sages will actually experience my own presence. Because Uddhava, in his teachings, in his behavior, in his dealings, is literally non-different from me, and he will actually represent me perfectly. And therefore, Lord Krishna decided to empower Uddhava with this message to go to Badrikashram to give this knowledge to all the sages. And so it is described that as far as Uddhava is concerned, Uddhava is considered one of the Nitya Siddha associates of the Lord. Sa katham sevaya tasya kalena jarasam gata prishto vaya katham bhuya bhartur padav anusmaran. He was constantly absorbed in thinking about Krishna, meditating upon Krishna. He was experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, remembering Krishna. So he was not only a Nitya Siddha, he was also one of the Vasus. He was a disciple of Brihaspati. He actually displayed perfect Vaishnava behavior by showing good manners, by being respectful, by actually spending his entire life as an eternal associate of Krishna. And not only was he an eternal associate, intimate associate. And it is described that Krishna would wear a dress one day, and the next day, that dress would be worn by Uddhava as his Mahaprasad. And Uddhava resembled Krishna so much that when he entered Vrindavan, the gopis felt that Krishna has come. Except the peacock feather, many of the things appeared quite similar. And so he was also involved by Krishna in giving him intimate counsel. And he was Krishna's cousin. And he experienced immense feelings of separation. Pulokot bhinna sarvango munchat milat drishoshucha purnartha lakshitas tena prema prasara samplutah. So here, in the third canto, it is described that when Uddhava was experiencing separation from Krishna, prema prasara samplutah, his heart was overwhelmed with love, remembering Krishna. And when the thoughts of Krishna overwhelmed him, symptoms of ecstasy became manifest on each one of his limbs. Pulakot bhinna sarvango. And munchat mila drisho. And although his eyes were closed, those thoughts of Krishna could not stop the tears from flowing. And all of his limbs were shivering and quaking. And therefore, purnartho lakshitas tena. So the word used here is very significant. Purna artha. That's the ultimate success which each one of us is aspiring for in life. That when one's heart, mind's thoughts become completely absorbed with Krishna, where attainment of Krishna becomes the only parameter of success, and separation from Krishna becomes the symptom of failure. Purnartha lakshitas tena. And in this way, Uddhava demonstrated all the symptoms of ultimate success of attainment of Krishna prema in the human form of life. Prema prasara samplutha. And in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also given us opportunity to experience the ultimate attainment in human form of life of Krishna prema through his Shikshashtakam prayers. Although these are only 8 prayers, but within these 8 prayers, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has included several things, especially the 6 main themes of Shikshashtakam are, number 1, the Shikshashtakam is the essence of Mahaprabhu's teachings. It is the totality of Vaishnava culture. It contains the essence. Secondly, the Shikshashtaka contains the tools. What tools? By meditating deeply on the meanings, by absorbing ourselves deeply in these verses, we will actually discover how they contain the ultimate essence. Third, it is a meditation. It teaches us how to think. Fourth, the Shikshashtakam contains the best model for aspiration, what we should aspire for. Fifth, the Shikshashtakam also demonstrates the standard for interaction, how we should be interacting with each other, with Krishna, within ourselves. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena. The interaction is demonstrated. And sixthly, the Shikshashtakam contains the ultimate destination. What should be the ultimate destination of the human form of life? And so, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very beautifully has given us what some of the greatest associates of the Lord, they demonstrate in the peak and acme of success in Krishna consciousness. The means, the method to attain that has been given. Vedthatvam saumyatat sarvam tatvatastat anugrahat bruyuh snigdhasya shishyasya guravo guhyam apyuta. So therefore the crux of empowerment is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why Krishna chose Uddhava to be his empowered representative? When Krishna chose Uddhava, that choice of Krishna of selecting Uddhava is actually empowerment. Because Krishna felt that Uddhava can do it, therefore Krishna's will became manifested in Uddhava's heart, and that becomes the principle of empowerment. And how that empowerment happens, what makes Krishna choose his associates like this? That is described in the first canto. The sages are telling Suta Goswami that you have one quality. You have Saumya, you are gentle. Snigdha, you are malleable. You are flexible. You are humble. You are submissive. You are grateful. You are willing to reciprocate. You are willing to adjust. You are not rigid. And therefore, it is described that Shrunushu avahito rajan api guhyam vadamite bruyu snigdhasya shishyasya. Again, in the 12th chapter of the 10th canto, in the 13th chapter beginning, this verse is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. That Shrunushva avahito, you are able to hear with great attention, api guhyam vadamite, as I am going to speak to you this secret, bruyu snigdhasya shikshasya guravo guhyam. The topmost secrets are revealed by the great source to those who are qualified. And what is that qualification? Intelligence, power, control, scholarship, high birth? No. It is their willingness to hear and willingness to follow. That submission is attracting me to speak this to you. So therefore, again, this verse comes. And so, in the pastime of Sakshi Gopal, this Brahmana, he quotes in the assembly that ei vakye achyamura sakshi mahajan yaravakya satyakuri mane tribhuvan. That yes, I may not have janma aishwarya shuta shri, but I have one property, and that property is I have faith in the words of Krishna. Yaravakya satyakuri mane tribhuvan. My only possession are the words of the Shastras, the words of Krishna, the words of the Vaishnavas. And the words emanating from the lotus lips of the Vaishnavas, they become my property. And therefore, ei vakye achyamura sakshi mahajan yara vakye satyakuri mane tribhuvan. And so Prabhupada says, I went to the western countries with no possession, with no money, with no property, with no influence, with no contacts. So one may think, what is the greatest attainment? The greatest attainment is not to have all of these achievements. If we do not have any of these achievements, any of these privileges, any of these properties, but if one simply has faith in the words of Krishna and faith in the words of Krishna's devotees, that faith is the greatest property. That faith is the greatest attainment. And therefore, yara vakya satyakuri mane tribhuvan. And the human form of life is ultimately meant to nurture that faith. And the satsang of the Vaishnavas exists exclusively for the purpose of helping us grow that faith. And that's why we have made so many choices in life, made so many sacrifices in life to get connected to that association of devotees so that this faith or Shraddha can be grown and increased and expanded. And therefore, here we find that in the pastime of Jai Vijay, Lord Vishnu specifically orchestrates that pastime to demonstrate that even at the gate of Vaikuntha, if there is someone who is not aligned with my mood, then they do not have place in Vaikuntha. I am known as Namo Brahmanya Devaya. I am favorably disposed towards the Brahmanas and the great souls. And when those Brahmanas, four Kumaras are standing at the gates of Vaikuntha, my own personal associates, without understanding my mood, are dealing with them harshly and rudely, they do not deserve to stay in Vaikuntha. And therefore, the Lord demonstrates this pastime, which is very dramatic, very graphic, at the gates of Vaikuntha, to show and demonstrate his zero tolerance of someone who is not submissive, aligned and totally in tune with his mood in the spiritual world. And therefore here we find that Krishna is looking for such a personality to empower. And so Krishna chooses Uddhava. That yes, he can go and represent in the Badrika Ashram. And so Krishna gives the knowledge and he is going to speak this Uddhava Gita. And these chapters of Uddhava Gita are heard and assimilated by Uddhava. Then he goes to Badrika Ashram, gives this knowledge to the sages, but is unable to tolerate separation from Krishna. And then he comes back all the way back to Dwarka. By that time he realizes that there has been a terrible annihilation of the Yadava dynasty. And then Uddhava is totally overwhelmed and Krishna again speaks the knowledge which establishes his own supreme position. At that time when Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, Maitreya Rishi also comes and this conversation happens in Prabhasa Kshetra. So the Uddhava Gita was spoken in Dwarka just after the demigods come and they request Krishna, it is time for you to wind up the pastimes. All the various projects which we had given you, you have accomplished. We are happy with you. Vikhana Sardhito Vishwaguptaye Sakhaudeivan Satvatam Kule. Krishna appeared on the request and the prayer of Brahma and the demigods. So when they come, at that time Uddhava is also hearing. And when Uddhava hears this, that the demigods are requesting Krishna to wind up, Uddhava puts his request to Krishna, may I also come with you? Because it is like Yatra. Krishna is going back to Goloka. And Uddhava says, may I also come with you? And then Krishna says, no, you stay here because I have a mission for you. And my mission may be different from your vision. And therefore to help you align your vision properly, you sit and hear these several chapters of Uddhava Gita and go and give this knowledge to the sages in Badrika Ashram. So that is how Krishna sent him. And then Uddhava comes back. When he comes back, the entire Yadu dynasty is destroyed. And in Prabhas Kshetra, Krishna again speaks to Uddhava and then sends him back again. And Uddhava on the way back to Badrika Ashram, because Krishna does not accept Uddhava's returning. Because when Krishna gives his mission, although he is Bhakta Vatsala, once he gives his mission, he makes sure that it is completed. So he sees that Uddhava has not completed that mission, again speaks, and that time Maitreya also hears. And both Uddhava and Maitreya leave. Maitreya goes to Haridwar. Uddhava on the way to Badrika Ashram goes via Vrindavan, and on the banks of Yamuna he meets Vidura. And then Vidura requests him to speak about Harikatha. Uddhava, out of his great, you know, respect and following of etiquette, directs Vidura to Maitreya, because Uddhava is aware that his mission is Badrika Ashram. His mission is to give knowledge of Krishna to the impoverished, poor sages of Badrika Ashram and not to the ex-prime minister of Hastinapur. So Uddhava is so loyal in his mission that he foregoes the privilege of being the knowledge giver to the honorary ex-prime minister of Hastinapur, which is Vidura. Right? Vidura's name comes so much in Bhagavatam, we may not remember that he was the prime minister. But he was the prime minister. And here, Uddhava says, no, you go and hear from Maitreya Rishi. And then goes back. And then completes his mission. which was given, and that's how the whole pastime actually was orchestrated. And since the Uddhav Gita begins, and this may go on for several months, right? So I just thought I'll give a context of when Krishna spoke the Uddhav Gita and why he chose Uddhava specifically. And so, the other thing which I just wanted to share with you is in the last few chapters, probably, you know, a lot must have been spoken about how Krishna disappeared. So therefore, why Krishna chose Uddhava is also significant. Another reason why Krishna chose Uddhava is Krishna was confident that the way my disappearance pastime will unfold, where Krishna would first take the Yadus back to the spiritual world, or, you know, close the pastimes of the Yadavas and close his own pastimes, may bewilder several souls. But Krishna was confident that Uddhava is one person who will never become bewildered. And why Uddhava will not become bewildered? Because Uddhava understands that all of this is happening by my will. And one who has understood the supremacy, the infallibility, and simultaneously the nobility of my will never get bewildered. And therefore, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur explains that why we need to understand the closing pastimes of Krishna properly. Because when you say janma karma chame divyam, so we may think, oh, Krishna's appearance is very pleasurable, very nice. Everyone loves when a son is born. Everyone loves Nandotsav because it reminds us, oh, how we are celebrating. But how many people will like when they hear about an entire dynasty being destroyed, of 546 million family members destroying and killing each other? And whose family members? Krishna's family members. So why this pastime happened like this? So therefore, the first thing he says is, only when you understand this properly, then tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. So if after dying, you do not have to take birth again, understand properly how I left this planet and how the Yadavas left the planet. And secondly, Krishna orchestrates this pastime to create some confusion amongst those who do not have faith. Avajananti mam mudha. And then mogasha, moga karamano, moga jnana, achetasa. And therefore, all of one's efforts will ultimately fail. One will be overwhelmed by demoniac nature and irreligion will flourish. And so, there are various reasons, you know, why Krishna performed this pastime. So the first and foremost principle, before we get into the reasons, to know that this entire pastime was orchestrated by Krishna's will. Okay, so what was the reason why Krishna orchestrated this? Is Krishna felt that all the purposes of his appearance have been fulfilled. Perfect arrangement for future generations have been made. And so the Bhagavatam describes that snigdha smitavarodarai vakyai vikramalilaya sva murtya ramyayam asa murtya sarvanga ramyaya. So Krishna wants to demonstrate the beauty of his limbs, sva murtya, by showing his beautiful form, ramyayam asa murtya sarvanga ramyaya, by seeing and appreciating the beauty of each and every limb of Krishna, the conditioned soul's heart is filled with ecstasy and joy. And therefore, here it is described, pradarshya atapta tapasam avitripta drisham rinam adayantar adhadyastu swabimbam lokalochanam. Krishna decides to take his beautiful form away from the eyes and the vision of the conditioned souls, Swabimbam lokalochanam. And why he does that? It is described here. Pradarsha atapta tapasam. One meaning Chakravarti Pad explains is, because the conditioned souls should not think that because of having performed austerity, they got the pleasure and privilege of seeing Krishna's form. No. The pleasure and the privilege of seeing Krishna forms happens only by Krishna's mercy and will. And therefore, adarsha adantar adhatyastu swabimbam lokalochanam. Krishna himself took his form away by his own sweet will. And then Krishna wanted to intensify the desire and the greed of those who got attached to his form by creating viraha from that form. Also, Chakravarti Pad says it acts like a byaja stuti, that swabimbam lokalochanam, when Krishna appeared, everyone became blinded by beauty of Krishna. They became deaf by hearing Krishna's sweet words. By glorifying Krishna, they became completely dumb. They just could not speak because Krishna's beauty is so, Krishna's glories are so enchanting. And in this way, Krishna actually stunned everyone with his transcendental form. And now he felt they must remember that form and they must increase the intensity of their separation by remembering him. And so Krishna felt that because he has left behind these pastimes and the subject matter is there, let the devotees engage in hearing and chanting of these beautiful pastimes and remember my form, my beauty, my reciprocation with my devotees, and in this way experience my presence. The Lord also wanted to establish that yes, I am taking my form back by my own will. And Uddhava says, in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Yanmarti Lilopaikam, in the third canto, Yanmarti Lilopaikam Swayoga Mayabalam Darshaita Grihita, that it has been created by the internal potency and not by the external potency. And so Chakravarti Pad and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explain a very beautiful point, that Krishna's activities and the jiva's karma may sometimes seek very common resemblance, very close resemblance. It may appear, oh, Krishna's activities are just like that of a human being. Why? So Saraswati Thakur says, it is the merciful concession of the Lord so that the conditioned souls, they get some attraction towards Krishna by seeing that, oh, he is from my own jati. His activities appear to be similar to mine. And then they start taking interest in him. And then they actually are able to eradicate their false enjoyment propensity. And therefore Krishna humbles the conditioned souls by showing his form, his kingdom, his higher standard of pleasure. And so, by showing his personality, he removes their long-standing indifference to his personality. Subimbam loka lochanam. And so, Krishna is assured that 5,000 years later also, by hearing and chanting about my glories, the conditioned souls will experience the same benefit as they are experiencing now by seeing this. So Chakravarti Pad, he quotes from Amar Kosha in this particular shloka where it is described how Krishna ends his pastimes. And here it is described that when Krishna is ending his pastimes, he actually demonstrates his determined desire. And so in this particular verse it is described, Agat Swam Padam Ishwaraha. Agat Swam Padam Ishwara means Krishna goes back to his abode. Agat means he personally goes. And Swampadam means to his own abode. And that's a very important, powerful, description about how Krishna cannot be sent back by any other power. So Chakravarti Pad, he gives from Amarkosha the meanings to Padam. So Padam means sthanam, means position. It also means place of deliverance. It means Lakshmi, fortune. It means angri, foot. It means vastushu, objects. But it also means vyavasita, padam. Padam means decided. So when in this verse, when Shukadeva Goswami is describing that padam vyavasita trana, that Krishna decided to go back. So what does it mean? It means that it is not that Krishna just went back to his abode. So when we say that Krishna goes back to his abode, there is an indirect meaning that Krishna was not present in his abode. That Krishna was absent from his abode and he was present here and then he was going back to his abode. No, Krishna is always present, as Brahma Samhita describes, in his abode. And so here, Vyavasita refers to the fact that Krishna actually attained all the objectives which he had come to achieve. And therefore here, Vyavasita means that which has been decided. Chakravarti Pad says, Krishna realized his determined desire. After realizing his determined desire, he goes back. So it is not that any other power takes him back. So therefore, by his causeless mercy, he manifests himself now and again. And when he is perfect in fulfilling his desires, he decides to bring a close to those pastimes. That's all. So therefore, this particular point has to be noted very carefully. So the next point which arises, having understood this, that it was Krishna's will, that why Krishna dealing with the Yadavas is not material, and the Yadavas disappearance is understood as the will of Krishna. So first of all, it is described that the first point in this context is that the curse on the Yadavas was a plan of Krishna only. And the fifth verse of the first chapter of 11th canto reveals this point. Secondly, the Yadavas were very powerful. They were dear to Krishna. And therefore, the Yadavas should not be considered as someone who were sinful. They had unrestricted opulence and no outside force could defeat them. And therefore it was Krishna's will only which could take them away. Another point is the Yadavas had divine qualities. And all of those divine qualities are described. They were charitable, they were inclined to serve, they were respectful. And a beautiful verse describes this, Brahmanyanam Vadanyanam. Brahmanyanam means they were very respectful to the Brahmanas. And they were constantly dedicated to protecting the cows and very charitable. So they had divine qualities. That means they were not people who could be overwhelmed by some kind of demoniac tendencies, because they were highly cultured. They had experienced the peak of perfection which any human civilization could aspire for. Another reason described is that the Lord's associates, they cannot offend sages, nor sages can become influenced by the anger of some sporting princes who come there demonstrating that, okay, whether this particular person is pregnant or not, that was a prank. And when the sages considered that this was being performed by the Lord's own family members, they could have easily overseen it. They could have not taken that seriously. They could have overlooked it. Then the Yadus took intoxication after being permitted by the Lord and the Brahmanas. So this is described in the third canto also in few verses. Right? So of course, we cannot have that privilege in the conditioned society. They were permitted by the Lord and the sages. And that is what is described. Atha te tat anugyata bhuktva piktva. So they were anugyata. They were permitted. They were blessed. Another reason is described is the Lord's eternal associates remained in Dwarka. So who disappeared was not, who actually entered into this fratricidal war was not the Yadavas. So the Yadavas had two categories. Those who were eternal associates of Lord and those who were demigods who had also appeared as expansions. So the demigod expansions actually were the ones who engaged in this. The Vrishni, Bhoja, Andhaka, who were the incarnations of the demigods. They actually were subjected to this. And the Lord's associates and Dham is eternal. That is another reason. That Dham is eternal, Lord's associates are eternal. And therefore, Nityam, Sannihitas, Tatra, Mathura, Dwarka, they are all considered to be eternal abodes. So also are the Dwarka Vasis. And Lord personally declares to Daruka that the destruction of the Yadu dynasty happens under my internal potency. And that's how the Yadu's destruction and the Lord's disappearance is inconceivable, even to demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. So all of these points indicate very clearly that this destruction happened under the influence of the Lord's internal potency. So the question arises as to why the Lord willed the Yadus to be annihilated in this way. Because we have dedicated our lives to serve Lord, having hopes by seeing that He is killing Putana, Agasur, Bakasur, Vatsasur, Kamsa. And when Krishna kills all of them, we feel inspired. And then when He engages the Yadavas to kill each other, then we may get doubts that have I made the right choice? Right? We do not see any other demigod putting their devotees through such kind of a crisis. So therefore, we have already taken to Krishna consciousness. Tilak is there, Kantimala is there. We are chanting, we have taken vows and everything. So why Krishna is having this kind of a mood? So therefore, we have to understand the desire of the Lord. And so the acharyas help us understand these desires. So the first reason is described by the acharyas, including Chakravarti Pad, Sridhar Swami and Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, who have given elaborate commentaries on this, and Jiva Goswami Pad also. And several reasons we'll just go through briefly. First is very practical reason. The Lord felt it is time for me to go back. But along with me, many demigods have also come. And they are also part of this Yadu dynasty and Vrishni, Bhojaka, Andhaka dynasty. And they are all performing pastimes here. They also need to go and resume their duties. So therefore, they have to go back. It is time for them too. So therefore, He wanted this to happen. Second, Krishna had a concern. The Yadus were extremely attached to Krishna. And in separation from Krishna, they would become so agitated, they would go around trampling the entire earth due to their feeling of separation. You know, when someone goes through feeling of separation, when there is death in the family, then emotional, you know, scenes are seen. But Krishna was wondering how the Yadavas will react on my disappearance. They are so powerful that they may practically trample the whole earth and create destruction. and it may create a global havoc. So before I disappear, they should disappear. For what purpose? For Lok Kalyan. It is out of mercy and compassion to the souls. Third reason, he says, that Krishna felt that the Yadavas, when they start behaving whimsically, they will become a burden on my devotee, Mother Earth. Right? Mother Earth is extremely attached to Krishna. She is one of the expansions of the Lord's potencies, Bhudevi. Kava saheta viraha purushottamasya prema valokurichara smita valgujalpaihi. So, it is described that Mother Earth, in separation from Krishna, she starts experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, and that is seen in the form of trees and grasses. When you see a tree, those trees are nothing but hair standing on end of Bhumi Devi in separation from Krishna. First canto purport. Right? It's not my purport. First canto, Prabhupada explains. So therefore, Bhumi Devi may be burdened by this, you know, Yadava clan. And therefore, although she may not consider it's a burden, but Krishna did not want to burden her. And so Krishna decided that I will actually free Mother Earth from having to deal with the emotional outburst of the Yadavas in feelings of separation from me. The fourth reason is described. Saraswati Thakur says that Krishna noticed that some of the Yadavas had become inimical, and they started seeing Krishna from the perspective that we are also equal to him. What is the difference between him and us? And so because of the mundane vision, they started seeing themselves as equal to Krishna. They forgot that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they misunderstood Krishna's supreme strength. And therefore, at this point, Krishna thought that familiarity breeds contempt. And so, Krishna wanted to relieve them from earth, to take them away. Another reason which Krishna felt, that when, of course, part of the same reason we can say, when such Yadavas, they become inimical and become whimsical, seeing their whimsical behavior, common people may think that this is how devotees and intimate associates of Lord should behave like. And it is always easy to follow the lowest standard than to follow the highest standard. And they may not remember what the Yadavas have done when Krishna was present. When they see them indulging in this kind of activities, that whimsical behavior may become the standard. Right? And therefore, you know, one devotee sharing this story, that Prabhupada was traveling on a flight and some devotee offered 7-Up. And then Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And they said, "It's some kind of a lemon drink." So Prabhupada took it. And when Prabhupada reached the next temple, he saw in the dustbin stack of 7-Up. Immediately it became bona fide. But nobody gave up sleep at night to translate all through the night. So it is always easy to follow the lowest standard. And therefore, Krishna did not want the Yadavas to feel, the common people to feel, that this behavior of the Yadavas is what actually is the big problem. Another reason is Krishna was teaching the conditioned souls the temporary nature of this material world. That yes, you are inspired by seeing my pastimes in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka. Yes, 16,000 palaces, 16,000 families, and millions of children and grandchildren. But now, look at this. That this material world is ultimately a place which we cannot make permanent residence. And therefore, Krishna wanted to create Vairagya. The sixth reason is, he wants to protect common people from impersonalism. How is that? Many common people may consider the family members of Krishna to be as good as Krishna. Because you are from Krishna's family, you must be like Krishna. And therefore, the heroes of Yadu clan, who were as worshipable as Krishna, they were independent controllers, they were extremely powerful, they may be considered on the same level as Krishna. But Krishna wanted to demonstrate that the most powerful living entity, even to the extent of being as powerful as the members of the Yadu dynasty, cannot equal my presence. The jiva can never become equal to Krishna. The seventh reason is Krishna want to share one very important lesson. Simply by birth, one cannot become spiritually qualified. And one cannot become a spiritual teacher. So being members of Krishna's family, many of the Yadavas may become proud of their position. They may abuse the adulation they receive from innocent people. And therefore, they may actually artificially divert people, the attention which they get from people from pure devotional service. And probably they become overwhelmed by other desires. And therefore that would be a great disservice. And so, when the Yadavas get undue attention from common people because of the privilege of being Krishna's family members, then they may start misusing that position. And therefore, Mahaprabhu says that kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra keninoy jai krishna tattva vetta sai guru hoy. And therefore, not by birth one can claim spiritual qualification. Then another reason it says that Krishna wanted to demonstrate the uselessness of sahajiya sampradaya, that you know Samba was dressed up as a lady. And inside, they said, okay, whether it is going to be a boy or a girl. But what came out was not that. What came out was a club. And therefore, the young Yadus, they were deviating from the path. They were imitating. And so the Prakrita Sahajiyas also imitate. And as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj gives this example, that if a barren woman or a lady who is not pregnant, she starts crying out. Simply by that crying, baby will not be born. When the pregnant woman actually gives birth, at that time due to the pain, she may cry. Similarly, one who has Krishna consciousness may show symptoms of ecstasy and may start crying. But just by crying and shouting and howling, Krishna will not manifest from within. And so another reason he says, to show the power of the curse of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Krishna wanted to demonstrate that if you offend a Brahmana and a Vaishnava, even if that person may be my family member, I do not tolerate that offense. And therefore, the principle of serving the pure devotee is extremely important, and nobody can violate the respect and reverence to be given to pure devotees like Sripad Narada Muni. And so, the tenth reason he says is Krishna is supremely equal. If someone breaks an etiquette, even if those are members of my own family and who are very, very intimately connected to me, my own children and grandchildren are part of that. But Krishna's neutrality is displayed, that yes, they made a mistake and therefore they will be punished. Then Saraswati Thakur adds this, the real preachers expose the pseudo devotees. And so he says that, okay, there are those who may wear the dress of a devotee and may engage in blaspheming bhakti and the bhaktas. But for such people, that envy of the preaching, the hatred and envy of the preaching mission is not to be tolerated. And therefore, such a person will be subjected to destruction. And so Prabhupada says, in this particular purport, it is quoted here, the preachers of Krishna consciousness expose the pseudo-devotees as bewildered fools. Then, another beautiful point is shared, which is, duplicity destroys devotional service. And so the club of duplicity can never bring peace found in the society. Such duplicity smashes devotional service and all whimsical doctrines. Such bhakti smashes the duplicity. So therefore, it has to be appreciated that when one tries to show off that which one is not, that ultimately will be destroyed by the principles of pure devotional service in due course of time. And so here, Krishna is showing zero tolerance to the duplicity demonstrated by his own family members. So the last part is, why Krishna closed his pastimes by leaving a material body? So here, a very important question is asked, that some of these particular points are very interesting, that Krishna left behind a material mundane body. That is what the story demonstrates. And hunter Jara came and he shot an arrow. The question is asked, after 546 million soldiers were destroyed in a ghastly battle, in such a scene, will a hunter come looking for a deer? After such a major calamity has happened, is that a scene for a deer, which is such a timid animal, that you just look at the deer will run away? And after such a ghastly battle, will deer be moving around peacefully? And why will a hunter come searching for that? This shows it is Krishna's plan, so that we sit and hear the katha. It is all part of Krishna's pastime. The hunter will not come, neither will a deer be roaming after such violence has happened. And so, the second principle demonstrated is the arrow cannot pierce Krishna's transcendental form. Because Krishna's form is Satchidananda, and in that verse, nowhere it says that Jara came and took out the arrow from Krishna's lotus feet. He shot the arrow, it is described. And in the next verse it is said, he comes and offers obeisances to Krishna at his lotus feet. And if he is offering obeisances, and if he actually feels remorse, he would actually remove the arrow first. Not keep looking at the arrow and continue offering obeisances. Thirdly, the demigods could not understand the movement of the Lord after disappearance. That is demonstrated. And so, the way the Lord left his body behind is not like a yogi, where he ignites himself with fire. And so, it is described that the Agni meditation which the yogis indulge in is not what the Lord did. The Lord, by his own will, he actually left. And so the word used is Adagva Dhamma Vishi Swakat. So Vishat Swakat, his own Avishat, is entered Swakat, his own Dhamma. How? Adagdhva, without burning. That means that body was not subjected to any destruction. Another point brought about is, Krishna's body bestows all auspiciousness and meditation. That body which gives auspiciousness and meditation, it cannot be subjected to destruction. So therefore the verse used here is, Lokabhiramam Swatanum Dharana Dhyana Mangalam. By Dharana and Dhyana, that which gives Mangal, it cannot be subjected to destruction. And therefore, all these points reveal that Krishna's form was completely transcendental, completely spiritual. And therefore, we should not have any faith that Krishna left behind the material body and then went to the spiritual world. No. He went back in his own spiritual self-same form. So then the question arises, then why he actually orchestrated this pastime, which is so confusing? We say chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And we say bhakti is simple. And we say that Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. Then why Karuna Sindhu engages his intimate associates to kill each other and drown in an ocean of blood? So therefore, the first reason is Krishna wants to please his devotee, Bhrigu. Now how is that? You know that pastime where Bhrigu Muni went searching for who is the supreme. So as part of his research, he finally entered Vaikuntha Loka and he kicked Lord Vishnu on his chest with his feet. And it was such a big sin, he had to perform prayaschitta. And therefore, due to that sin, he was born as a hunter, Jara. And Krishna wanted to deliver him. And he thought, the best way to deliver him is, he should experience great remorse. And in order for him to feel remorse, Krishna made himself the instrument by allowing him to shoot arrow at him so that Jara feels remorse and falls at his feet and Krishna gets the opportunity to take him along with him back to the spiritual world. Martyena yoguru satam yamalokanitam tvam anayad sharanada paramastra dagdham jigyenta kantakam paramastra dagdham. That actually Krishna in his self same form goes back to the spiritual world and the Jara also is taken by Krishna to the spiritual world. And therefore, the Lord does this to please his devotee, Bhrigu. Second, the Lord performs this pastime to confuse the demons. Because demons are always inclined to think that Krishna is material. Krishna provides them more material. Continue to think that I am material. And stay away from me. So this is like Krishna's way of stopping entry into the spiritual world. Thirdly, very interestingly, Krishna realized that it is time for starting Kali Yuga. So Krishna performed this pastime to switch on the Kali Yuga engine. Why? Because when Krishna was present, Dharma flourished so much that all of the four legs of Dharma were flourishing. And Kali Yuga can only begin when three legs are destroyed. So Krishna thought, how will that happen? That will only happen when I create some confusion. And therefore, Krishna felt that since the devatas of great fame are purifiers of the whole world, they remain alert. Vinashaya cha duskritam, even the demons have been destroyed. And if I take all the Dwarkavasis and along with them in spiritual planes, we all go back to the spiritual world just like Ram went along with all the Ayodhya Vasis. Everything clear cut, everything transparent. So many things in Ram Leela are very attractive for conditioned souls. So if people see that, then those who are already my pure devotees, they will become intensely devotional. They will become extremely eager. And those who are neutral will become devotees on seeing this, thinking that, oh, this is the privilege you get at the end to go to the Krishna's abode along with him. And they will start having the similar aspirations. And as a result, what will happen? Two things will happen. Dharma will increase and the number of devotees will double. But now as Dwapara Yuga is ending, I have to change the temperature. It has come, it is time for the seasons to change. And therefore, to ignite Kali Yuga, what to do? So therefore, at this point, Krishna decided that I will actually make myself disappear along with my internal associates, but Those who are the demigod expansions will be made to go through this fratricidal war at Prabhasa. I'll make them drink wine and start cursing each other and destroying each other. And in this way, I will let the common people think that the whole clan of Krishna was influenced by material energy. I will let them think that Krishna left behind a material body. I will let them think that Krishna, Balram, they gave up their material body and then ascended to the spiritual abode. And thus they will come to the conclusion that Krishna's body is material and temporary. And when they think like this, not only will the materialists think like that, by my will, even Arjuna may at some point think like this. Even the sages like Vaishampayana and Parashar, they may describe the pastimes like this. And my associate Lord Shiva, he will appear in Kali Yuga. And he will describe the Vedanta by giving its interpretation in a certain way, by which most people will think that I have a material body. And therefore, Krishna at this point decides to orchestrate this pastime, because the root cause for dharma to come down and adharma to flourish is faithlessness, is doubt. And therefore, specifically to sow the seed of doubt and to increase faithlessness and to destroy people's faith and to make people feel bewildered that what is Krishna doing? Why is he doing like this? Krishna specifically orchestrates this pastime of the Maushal Leela, where it appears that Krishna has left behind a material body and he has gone to the spiritual world. And so Krishna is different from his form. And Krishna's associates are also material. And the dealings between Krishna and Krishna's associates no longer appear to be transcendental and spiritual. One becomes filled with doubts and remorse by seeing this pastime. And so, that becomes the perfect ignition point for adharma to flourish. And then in such a climate of adharma, then Kali Yuga will manifest. And when the temperature of Kali Yuga rises, then all of us manifest. And then the temperature is going to rise further, as this purport explains. And therefore Srila Prabhupada mercifully has established his movement, which will actually be the saving grace for souls for the next 10,000 years. So when Prabhupada was sitting with his devotees, one of the, famous personalities in New York at that time, he was asking Prabhupada, that Swamiji, I want to know about the last incarnation who will come. And Prabhupada said, which one? He said, the Kalki avatar. I want to know about the message of the Kalki avatar. Prabhupada said, Kalki avatar, no message, simply killing. So he says, that what about all of you? Will any of the ISKCON devotees be there to see the Kalki avatar pastime? Prabhupada said, by the time Kalki avatar comes, all the devotees of ISKCON would have gone back home, back to Godhead. And then he looked at him and said, but if you don't take Krishna consciousness seriously, you may still be there to see that. So therefore, this entire Maushal Leela is orchestrated by Krishna just to inspire every devotee to take to Krishna consciousness with full faith that Krishna is transcendental, his will is transcendental, his pastimes are transcendental, and we cannot judge Krishna with our mundane vision. And in this way, Krishna chooses Uddhava as his representative to share his most secret, the secret about Krishna's transcendental position, which is not ordinarily understood. It cannot be accessed. It is behind the door. It is not simply opened so easily. And just because something is not easily accessible, doesn't mean that it is irrelevant. The relevance will come when the door opens. Until then, one needs to have the right kind of attitude and patience. And that is what Prabhupada came to share with all of us. That's what ISKCON Society stands for. And that's the mood of our acharyas. And so, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will go through pastime after pastime, which could possibly bewilder the mundane logic and intelligence of the conditioned soul. But therefore we need the darshan, acharya's tika, commentaries, for us to be able to see the reality behind Krishna's pastimes, the reality behind why such apparent ghastly pastimes, they are actually performed with the background of Krishna's compassionate, loving heart. And we should not misunderstand Krishna's heart by seeing such pastimes. And so we are grateful to such acharyas for sharing with us these divine leelas so that we can remain focused at Krishna's lotus feet, being the ultimate goal of our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.